spoke yesterday about the meaning of the lines in the Litany of the Great Compassionate One. All is defilement, defilement, earth, earth. Do the work within my heart. When there are parts of ourselves, aspects of our experience, that we hate, it is as if those, in those areas of our life, there's a kind of shroud that envelops them and that appears to separate from or blind to the love of the eternal. If our experience is full of things that we hate, then we feel correspondingly a deep and existential separation from the love of the eternal. Notice that it doesn't matter what it is that we're talking about here in terms of the object of the hatred. It can be a person, an event, experience, an object. It can be a pain. It could be an appearance. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever we hate is experienced as being separate from the eternal. And because whatever we hate is a part of ourselves, that any little cell, as it were, of hate, infected with hatred, will be a kind of spiritual cancer that spreads throughout the organism, as it were. What if it is that someone did something to me and it was very painful and seemed very unfair and I hate that person? Well, that person's not a part of myself. That person's another person. So it seems to the person who hates. In truth, however, there is no self of that other person. And all we have is our experience of that person and of the events that happen. Our experience of that person and of the events that happened, no matter how far back in the past it happened, no matter what frequency it happened with, whether once, many times, that's part of ourselves, that experience. When we hate another, we are actually hating ourselves. When we cannot forgive another, we cannot forgive ourselves. If we say, the policies of the government are unfair, I not only dislike them, some of them I hate. Look at the harm they're doing. At that time, we are actually hating part of ourselves. This does not mean that one has to agree that everything that the government does is right. But it is saying, if you disagree, if what the government does grieves you, and you take it to the level of hatred, then whatever it does to your hatred does to the government, it's certainly hurting yourself. There's no getting out of this. All hatred comes back to hatred of oneself. There is no getting out of it, ever. And it's a good thing, too, because it means that if we actually create and sustain our own hatred, and whatever we think, whatever our opinions about it be, in actual fact, our hatred directed against anyone or anything is really ultimately aimed against ourselves and hurting ourselves more than anyone or anything else. It means that really, essentially, it's self-contained. That's not to say we can't hurt others out of hatred. Indeed, we can. But it means the roots of it lie within ourselves entirely. And again, this is a good thing, because if the roots of hatred lay outside ourselves, how would we ever deal with them? But precisely because the roots of hatred lie within ourselves, and the ultimate consequences of the exercise of the will in the direction of hatred are experienced by ourselves. Precisely because of this, it's in our power to do something about it. Yesterday, I emphasized in the talk the role of meditation. Bringing that which is pain, that which is confused, into the stillness of meditation, which is really the stillness of the Buddha nature itself. And holding it there, as it were, allowing it to be in that place, so that the spiritual need lying within it can be met directly by the love and wisdom of the Eternal. This is essentially what is happening when the deepest kind of sangha takes place. River Master used the words contrition and conversion. to translate the word Sangha. But think of it this way for a moment. Our spiritual need is all, as it were, coiled up within us, waiting for a chance to uncoil and to be brought to or allowed to get to that well of stillness, that well of compassion. Which is pure meditation. At the deepest level, Sangha is sitting upright, talking here primarily about spiritual uprightness. Sitting upright and allowing that unfurling or uncoiling of spiritual need to happen. And being willing to, as it were, present the document on which it's all written to the view of the eternal. It's a bit hard for me to express without using some such metaphor how I experience this, but another way I think of it is, but more than think of it, another way in which I experience it is like holding a rolled up a rolled up tapestry, maybe, that I kind of release and allow the roll to unscroll. And as it drops down, I'm sitting upright in meditation. And all this pain and all these aspects of my experience that are marked with grief, are marked with longing, are marked with dislike and regret, are marked with even hatred itself in some cases, perhaps. Allow them to unscroll and unfold in that completely safe place of pure meditation where they are not judged, they are not condemned, they just are allowed to be. Note that I'm not saying that I bring my compassion or my tenderness or my acceptance to them. It is vitally important to understand that at the level at which I'm speaking, there simply is no my. Why is it so important? Because I am not the one in the driver's seat on this. I don't need to produce virtue to somehow repair vice. Virtue and vice don't exist at this level. Right and wrong don't exist at this level. There is just letting the eternal get at what so needs help. And one has to accept at this time I can do nothing but sit still and trust with my whole being. I can do nothing but sit still and trust with my whole being. Do the work within my heart. It is only when we give up trying to be God and allow God to be God that that deep need can get its help. And then it gets it. How do we know it gets it? Because everything in us rises up. There's a great upwelling of compassion, a great upwelling of insight and understanding. No one does evil fully consciously wishing to do evil. Everyone means to do good. And under the influence of ignorance, pain, and confusion, those good intentions sometimes go terribly, terribly off course. When there is that flow of compassion, when there is that insight, it is not mine to claim, it is not mine to own, it is not mine to cling to. The eternal is. The love of the eternal is, the wisdom of the eternal is, I am nothing, do with me as you will. Do the work within my heart. There is at the heart of all genuine religious experience, the incomprehensible truth of pure grace. Of a compassion and a generosity of spirit that is beyond our power to understand. It is enough that that is so. And that we can take refuge in it. The more we take refuge in it, the more it shows us the way to live, the way to go on beyond the all is defilement, defilement, earth, earth. And not just continue to pile confusion on confusion and pain on pain. There is a true path to the cessation of suffering. There is the path of the true spirit of the precepts. While we bring our old ideas and opinions about right and wrong, good and evil, our old likes and dislikes and loves and hates, to our attempt to understand the precepts, we'll always be dragging them down to a lower level. When we're doing that, we do not see that the precepts are just the description of how to live so as not to create clouds in a clear sky. And how seriously and mindfully one has to take the training of everyday life in order to live in that way. Our master so often cautioned us, no matter how far you go in training, your past karma can always at least potentially act upon you. Can always potentially influence you. The wheel of karma, the wheel of birth and death, the wheel of suffering is easy to set in motion and hard to stop once set in motion. There's no time that we so need the refuge of the precepts as when we have done a true act of Sangha. Do the work within my heart. Then turns into, please help me to learn to live in a way that I may not create clouds in a clear sky. In the whole world, there is not a better description of how to go about this than in Reverend Master Jiu's commentary on the precepts. This single amazing document says more about this than anything else I've ever seen in my life. Is a teaching that we can take to heart again and again. No matter how many times we do that, we'll always find new facets of wisdom. Those amazing words.